Good to see folk here this morning. Just we're quite a small number in the meeting room, and I guess there's more in the marquee. And also all of you at home, it's good to welcome you and to be together, just to worship the Lord together, and to know that we're, however strange it may feel, to know that we're in his sight. He looks at us. He cares for us and he loves us. And although these are very unusual circumstances, it's wonderful to know that he has not forgotten us. And the thing I want to share this morning is, if you want a title, it's to stretch out your hand. A few weeks ago in a prayer meeting, I did share something along this line, which I'd like to develop a little bit this morning. We're going to start in Acts chapter 12. And then we'll move to Luke chapter 6. So in Acts chapter 12, what happens here is that after a period of amazing growth in the church, and most of the persecution up to that point had come from the religious authorities, suddenly Herod the king, I'm reading from chapter 12 verse 1, stretched out his hands. Interesting that the enemy and the persecutors of the Lord, they also stretch out their hands to vex or to trouble certain of the church. James, the brother of John, was killed with the sword. And because Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter as well. Those were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after the Passover, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people, with the intention that he was going to be executed. Peter was therefore kept in prison, locked down, if you like. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And that's a wonderful response by the church, that even during that period where Peter was locked down, arrested in prison, awaiting execution, prayer was made. And that little word, without ceasing, by the church to God for him, that word, without ceasing, the Greek word also has the implication to extend or to reach out, to stretch out. So as they were praying, they were stretching out with their hands to God for God to do something to break this situation, release Peter, and for the work of God to go forward. So as they prayed, they stretched out their hands. I think that's a wonderful thing, that we can stretch out our hands in our hearts, as it were, to God, knowing that he hears us, knowing that he will answer. And if you know the story, Peter is miraculously released by an angel. The iron gates swing open, his chains fall off, light comes into his cell, and he goes out, and he actually goes to the place where they were praying. And when he knocks on the door, a young girl goes to answer, and when she realizes it's Peter, by recognizing his voice, she's so excited, she almost forgets to open the door, goes back and says, "It's Peter, Peter's outside." And everyone says, no, it can't be. We're busy praying, you know, we expect God to answer it in a particular way. But she repeatedly said, "No, it is him, it really is him." And eventually they open the door and they're astonished to see him. And even though they've been praying for his release, it seems that there was a certain degree of unbelief in their prayer. But the wonderful thing is, even though that may be the case, God still answered. So if you think that you can't sort of pray the great, mighty, strong prayer of faith, God still hears the cries of our heart, and he responds accordingly. But this thought of, as they were praying, they were stretching out their hands. Maybe go into Luke chapter 6, where there's a story here of a man who had a withered hand. We can pick it up in verse 6. This is Luke chapter 6, verse 6. And it came to pass on another Sabbath that he, that is Jesus, entered into the synagogue. Sorry, this is... And taught. And there was a man there whose right hand was withered. So his hand was somehow not stretched out. It was drawn in. He couldn't use it. And he was there in the church, in the synagogue, in the company of those people. And Jesus was also there. But his hand was withered. Now, when you think of a hand is a very wonderful thing. I don't know exactly what God was thinking when he created us to have hands, but we do so much with our hands. We can touch one another. I don't encourage you to do that now, we're not supposed to. But in normal circumstances, we can touch one another. We can touch things. We have the sense of touch. So we can feel whether something's hot or cold, sharp or blunt. All kinds of things. We can feel so much between our fingers. Our hands can also hold things. We can hold things lightly or we can hold them tightly. We can grip things. Our hands are used for so many things. We can greet one another, again, under normal circumstances, and in Africa a greeting is never complete unless you shake someone's hand. It's a way of greeting. And another thing that we do with our hands, as you can see I'm doing with mine, is that we talk with our hands. And some people talk far, far more than others with their hands as they gesticulate all over the place. But the thing is, the hand is a wonderful and marvelous thing. And for this man to have a withered hand, not being able to use it in all the ways that I've described and more, that was a major handicap for him. It was a major disadvantage in his life. And I think Jesus knew that. And that man, I don't know how often he had been coming to that synagogue. But he wasn't able to use his hand. And interesting, in Luke's account, it says that it was his right hand. Now, I know that there are some people who are left-handed. I know one or two, even in the fellowship here, who are left-handed. But the right hand, most of us are right-handed. And the right hand is something that you do specially. And so for his right hand, and I guess that perhaps he was right-handed, and maybe he'd learned to use his left hand in new ways, but his right hand, there was so much that he could not do. And as Jesus came in, the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that he may find an accusation against him. Tragic that some people were thinking in that way. But he, Jesus, knew their thoughts. And I don't know whether Jesus had already seen the man with the withered hand. But he looked at him and he also looked on everyone. And he spoke to the man with the withered hand in verse 8. Rise up and stand forth. Stand prominently in the midst of the company. Now that man, maybe because of his disadvantage, was very happy to sort of sit at the back and be as unnoticed as he possibly could. He wanted to be anonymous. But Jesus didn't want him to be like that. He didn't want him just to be standing, sitting sort of at the back, doing nothing. He wanted this man to be employed, to be used, to be engaged in the work that Jesus was doing. And Jesus was going to overcome all handicaps, all disadvantages, and everything that was against this man. Jesus was going to do something for him and to restore his hand whole just like the other. But first, Jesus said to him, "Man, I'm not going to do it while you're still sitting over there. You've got to rise up." And sometimes when we're in prayer, we come to a place where we don't just want to sit down and accept the status quo. Now, I'm not talking about presumption here. I'm talking about real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not accepting things just as they are and going on year after year with things the same. But this Jesus said to this man, "Rise, stand up, let everyone see, let everyone know that you believe in me, that you are following my commands and obeying my word." This is the sort of command that Jesus gave to the man. He wasn't going to do it while he was just sitting anonymously far away in the corner. He had to rise up and move. And there are occasions in prayer where Jesus doesn't want us just to sit and accept things the way they've always been. He wants us to rise and to move and to stand boldly on all his promises and on all his word. And so Jesus said to the man, "Rise, stand in the midst." And he arose and stood. He obeyed Jesus' commands. Then Jesus sort of addressed everyone, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, or to do evil, to save life, or to destroy it?" And of course, there were some there that just wanted to keep things suppressed. But Jesus wanted people to be released, and this man in particular to be released from his condition. And then he looks over them all. I wonder what kind of look that was. A look of love. A look of desire. And maybe, possibly, a look of rebuke. But in that look of rebuke, he was also wanting things to change. And he said to the man, now remember that this man, his hand was withered. It was drawn back. And Jesus tells him to do something which is utterly impossible. He says, "Stretch out your hand." Now, as I was thinking of this story, I thought this man could have replied in several ways. The first one he could have said was, "I can't. I can't do it. My hand has been like this for years. I can't change." Another development on from "I can't," and this I think is worse. Some people might say, "I won't." And that's a terrible thing to say to the Lord. It's one thing to say that I can't do it. I just don't seem to have the power, the ability, the strength, the energy. But when a person says, "I won't," that needs to be repented of. Because you cannot say, "I won't," to the Lord. If he says, "Do this," at the very least, you say, "Lord, I feel I can't, but I'm willing." Another possible response could have been, "Well, I've had this for years. I've coped. I can live with it. I can manage. I was going to say the word handle it. But I can manage, I can cope with it. You know, yes, it's not perfect, it's not ideal, but I get along." Jesus wanted to change that. Another reply he could have made was, "I want to remain anonymous. I want to remain in the background. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to sort of upset the boat. I don't want to stand out." But Jesus had already told him to stand out. I don't know what this man was thinking. Another possible reply is, I'm not worthy. Why choose me, Lord? I've got this withered hand, and there may be of other things in his life that we don't know about. He may have felt so unworthy, such a failure, such a person that just thinks, please, Lord, choose someone else. I'm no one. I'm nobody. I've got so many disadvantages against me. My background and the things that have happened in my life, all of these things, I'm not worthy. And Jesus says, no, you are. Rise up and stand in the midst. Don't sit there and dismiss yourself. You might think you're not worthy, and in one sense, none of us are. But in Christ, we are worthy. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Another possible reply, what will others think or say? We know what some thought. They were angry and they wanted to catch out Jesus, to have something to accuse him by. But Jesus would not be outwitted by them. Whatever the devil may do, and sometimes he's incredibly clever, Jesus is cleverer still. If that's a phrase, a word, cleverer. But you know what I mean. Whatever strategy the devil may employ, Jesus has a greater one. Don't worry what others may think or say. That's not for you to worry about. It's between you and the Lord himself. And the final reply that he could have said was, will it work? I prayed before. I believed before. I've done this. I've done that. And I just seem to be filled with disappointments. I think to each one of those possible replies, Jesus just gives the simple word, stretch out. I can't. Stretch out. I'm not worthy. Stretch out. Will it work? Stretch out. Stretch out in your heart and in your mind, your hand to the living God, and get hold of him and touch him with that touch of faith. And of course, when Jesus said stretch out, the whole implication was that he wasn't just stretching out to the company, he was stretching out to the Lord himself. And that's the wonderful thing. Is we don't stretch out to others. We may have many friends and many wonderful friends, but in the end, human ability will not help and aid us. We need to stretch out to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the only one who can really help. He is the only one that can make whole that is withered and drawn back and weak and impotent and unable. And so when Jesus said, stretch out your hand, the man did so. And his hand was restored, whole, just like the other. Jesus reversed that situation. We don't know how many years he was in that condition. But I would think it would have been a long, long time. And because he stretched out his hand and it was made whole, his entire life and his entire perspective on life changed. He was like other men, was he? No, he was more than other men. Because he had touched and experienced the power of the living God working in him. Now, to link that story in with Acts chapter 12 about how they made prayer without ceasing to God by the church for Peter. Remember, they stretched out their hands to the Lord in prayer. And I want to suggest that often, perhaps too often, in prayer, our hands are withered. They're weak. Not used in the way that they ought to be used. Not employed in the way that God would have them employed. Lacking ability. Drawn back. Unbelieving. Fearful. Doubtful. What does Jesus say in every one of those situations? He says, stretch out your hand and I will make it whole like the other, and you will see my work and my power. One last thing I want to say before I hand back to Dave. In order to reach out and to receive, we must let go of everything else. Sins, doubts, fears, ideas, ideals, daydreams, all other things, hopes, futures, ambitions, concerns, whole multitude of things that come into our lives. And everything that's happening now during this sort of strange period of lockdown, we've come out of one lockdown, or we had one, we were sort of coming out, and now we're kind of going back in again, and your mind might be in a turmoil. Let go of all of that. The Lord knows. And stretch out your hand to Him. Let go of every other concern. And everything else that you might be holding on, which prevents you from believing the Lord, let go of it. Stretch out your hand. Touch and receive from Him all that He wants to do. Believe what He is saying. And more than that, believe His character and His personality. He has not come to do us harm. He has come to help and to do good and to lead us through from victory unto victory, from triumph to triumph, in every place and under every circumstance. Praise His wonderful name. As we stretch out His hand to Him, He will stretch out His hand to us. Amen. Let's just pray and I'll hand back to Dave. Lord, thank You for our time this morning, and just commit this word into Your hands for You to speak and to work in all our lives for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.